warning, and osteoporosis, and that the administering clinician inform every recipient that the drug poses life-threatening harm. In the United States, pharmacists can never dispense Depo-Provera directly to a patient to self-inject, since the law requires that medical personnel counsel each patient about risks. Ignoring these safeguards in Africa would expose Pfizer to criminal prosecution and thousands of lawsuits under the Alien Tort Claims Act, which could allow aggrieved African women to sue negligent U.S. drug makers in U.S. courts if they suffer injuries as the result of failure to warn. Pfizer's apparent strategy for insulating itself from liability is to use PATH and BMGF as surrogates to market its contraception. Furthermore, to promote Depo-Provera's uptake among blacks, PATH makes a series of outlaw off-label claims that Pfizer could not legally make about the product. PATH claims that Depo-Provera protects against endometrial cancer and uterine fibroids and reduces risks of sickle cell anemia and iron deficiency anemia, diseases that disparately injure blacks. FDA has never approved Depo-Provera for cancer prevention or for any of these other uses. It is therefore illegal for Pfizer to promote these off-label claims. Presenting Gates and PATH as its intermediaries is apparently also Pfizer's strategy for evading U.S. laws that prohibit off-label claims. Levitch adds, these statements, taken in totality, are contextually false and designed to specifically circumvent the FDA's black box warnings. If Depo-Provera is genuinely a safe and effective contraceptive with only minimal side effects, why then are Gates, Hopkins, USAID, Planned Parenthood, and Pfizer's other intermediaries deliberately concealing the plain black-letter FDA black box warnings in their effort to minimize and conceal Depo-Provera's life-threatening harm? Put bluntly, Gates and his confederates are tricking African women into taking the contraceptive by deceiving them about its safety and lying about its efficacy against diseases that disproportionately harm blacks, something Pfizer executives could go to jail for. Gates's willing partner in this fraud is USAID. USAID's director, Dr. Rajiv Shah, has been a serial co-conspirator in Gates's many racist flim-flams. For a decade prior to his gig running USAID, Shah worked for Bill Gates's foundation, 2001 to 2010, as the principal fundraiser for Gavi's world immunization programs. Shah candidly acknowledged that BMGF's and PATH's stamp of approval on Depo-Provera serves as a clever strategy for insulating Pfizer from criminal and civil prosecution for violating FDA regulations. Gates's caper aims to artfully remove the FDA's jurisdiction by using PATH as its surrogate and by effectively transferring regulatory authority to the WHO. The Rebecca Project for Justice characterizes Gates's African project as a family planning strategy that unethically targets women of color to prohibit births of beautiful black children by not informing mothers of Depo-Provera's deadly risks as mandated under U.S. law regulations, thus denying women of color their inalienable right to choose and access safe reproductive health. Depo-Provera came honestly to its notoriety as the tool of choice for racist eugenicists. Israel banned Depo-Provera in 2013, following a scandal in which government health workers seeking to radically reduce the number of black births were targeting African Jews with Depo-Provera. Sharona Eliyahu Chai, lawyer for the Association of Civil Rights in Israel, ACRI, condemned the government policy of preventing black Israelis from reproducing. Findings from investigations into the use of Depo-Provera are extremely worrisome, raising concerns of harmful health policies with racist implications in violation of medical ethics. In 2002, India banned this dangerous drug from all family welfare programs after a similar scandal. Government officials were targeting lower caste Indians. Many other nations, including Bahrain, Israel, Jordan, Kuwait, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia, prohibit the use of Depo-Provera on their nationals. European countries largely restrict the use of Depo-Provera and require full disclosure of risks for women and informed consent prior to its use. Gates and USAID have taken advantage of political disorganization in Pakistan to administer self-inject Depo-Provera to Muslim women. In contrast to its U.S. counterpart, USAID, the Swedish International Development Authority, SIDA, does not fund, purchase, or provide Depo-Provera for Swedish-assisted projects in developing countries. Sterility vaccines, chemical castration. Gates's defenders ridicule as conspiracy theory the suggestion that Gates or any reputable public health authority would use life-saving vaccines as a stealth vehicle for surreptitiously rendering women infertile. But one of Gates's earliest philanthropic undertakings was a 2002 project to administer tetanus vaccines to poor women in 57 countries. For reasons we are about to discover, critics credibly suggest that these vaccines may have been secretly laced with a formula the Rockefeller Foundation developed to sterilize women against their will. On November 6, 2014, 4 years after Gates pledged at a TED Talk to use vaccines to lower birth rates, medical researchers and doctors associated with the Kenya Conference of Catholic Bishops, KCCB, and the Kenya Catholic Health Commission accused WHO, UNICEF, and Gavi of secretly conducting a mass sterilization program against Kenyan women under the veil of eradicating tetanus disease. The Washington Post reported similar charges by the Kenya Catholic Doctors Association, KCDA. The Catholic doctors became suspicious due to WHO's glaring departures from the usual tetanus vaccine protocols. Normally, a single tetanus vaccine provides a decade of immunity. Since men and women are equally susceptible, both sexes routinely get the vaccine. But WHO instructed Kenyan doctors to give the vaccine in 5 administrations, 6 months apart, and only to girls of childbearing years. The defense that the WHO intended only to target maternal and neonatal tetanus seems odd in view of the fact that males are about as likely as females to be exposed to the bacterium, which is found in the soil everywhere there are animals, observed a 2011 peer-reviewed study of the controversy. The Catholic doctors also noticed other unusual features of the campaign. For starters, WHO suspiciously initiated its jab campaign not from a hospital or medical center, or any of the estimated 60 local vaccination facilities, but distributed shots from the luxurious New Stanley Hotel in Nairobi, an exclusive resort out of reach to most physicians or public health officials. At considerable cost, a police escort accompanied the shots to vaccination sites, where police officers strictly supervised their handling by nursing staff and required clinicians to return each empty vial to WHO officials at Nairobi's only 5-star hotel under the watchful eyes of armed officers. 4 years later, in October 2019, the Kenyan Catholic Doctors Association accused UNICEF, Gavi, and the WHO of rendering millions of women and girls barren. The doctors had by then produced chemical analyses of vaccines, verifying their allegations. 3 independent Nairobi-accredited biochemistry laboratories tested samples of the WHO tetanus vaccine, finding human chorionic gonadotropin HCG, where none should be present. In October 2014, Catholic doctors obtained 6 additional vials and tested them in 6 accredited laboratories, finding HCG in half of those samples. In 2019, a group of independent researchers from Kenya and Great Britain, led by University of British Columbia neurologist Dr. Christopher Shaw, studied the charges and concluded that the Kenya anti-tetanus campaign was reasonably called into question by the Kenya Catholic Doctors Association as a front for population growth reduction. The medical researchers characterized the WHO program an ethical breach of the obligation on the side of the WHO to obtain informed consent from those Kenyan girls and women. Catholic medical personnel made similar accusations about WHO's tetanus projects in Tanzania, Nicaragua, Mexico, and the Philippines. Following indignant denials of all such accusations and obligatory denunciations against its accusers, WHO grudgingly admitted it had been developing the sterility vaccines for decades. WHO nevertheless punished the Kenyan doctors and the community officials who reported the spiked vaccine by canceling contracts for future work. The sordid history of sterility vaccines. It wasn't the first time that Catholic medical authorities accused the WHO of a stealth sterilization campaign against African women. As early as November 1993, Catholic publications charged that the WHO was spiking tetanus vaccines to neuter dark-skinned women globally with potent abortifacients. WHO denied the explosive charges. Shaw's research team showed that WHO and Rockefeller Foundation scientists began research on anti-fertility vaccines for birth control as early as 1972 by lacing HCG with tetanus toxoid, which acts as a carrier for the hormone. That year, WHO researchers at a meeting of the U.S. National Academy of Sciences reported their successful creation of a birth control vaccine that diminishes the beta HCG essential to a successful pregnancy and causes at least temporary infertility. Subsequent experiments proved that repeated doses could extend infertility indefinitely. By 1976, WHO scientists had successfully conjugated a functional birth control vaccine. The WHO researchers reported triumphantly that their formula could induce abortions in females already pregnant and/or infertility in recipients not yet impregnated. They observed that repeated inoculations prolong infertility. More recently, in 2017, WHO researchers were working on more potent anti-fertility vaccines using recombinant DNA. WHO publications explain that the agency's long-range purpose is to reduce population growth in unstable, less developed countries. The Kenyan tetanus campaign occurred shortly after Gates made his pledge of $10 billion to the WHO with the stated purpose of reducing population with new vaccines. Perhaps to emphasize his commitment to population control, Gates recruited his most influential vizier, Christopher Elias, as president of global development at the Gates Foundation in the following year. Prior to that appointment, Dr. Elias was president CEO of Gates' nonprofit PATH, which partners with pharmaceutical companies to distribute vaccines to poor countries by persuading rich and poor governments to fork over moolah to multinational drug makers in which Gates is invested. Elias ran PATH's innovative Siana Press injectable Depo Provera project designed to end-run U.S. safety regulations while reducing fertility of black African women. That brainchild earned Elias the Klaus Schwab Foundation's Social Entrepreneur of the Year Award in 2005. The Gates Foundation provided numerous grants to PATH, including one in November 2020, after Elias had moved over to BMGF, to support clinical development of COVID-19 vaccines by Chinese manufacturers. Before PATH, Elias had been senior associate in the International Programs Division of the Population Council, with the responsibility of dampening fecundity throughout Southeast Asia. John D. Rockefeller III founded the Population Council in 1952 at a conference he convened for the High Priesthood of Population Control, including the director of the new Planned Parenthood Federation of America and several well-known eugenicists. Lamenting that modern civilization had reduced the operation of natural selection by saving more weak lives and enabling them to reproduce, resulting in a downward trend in genetic quality, the group agreed to create an organization devoted to the reduction of fertility. While Rockefeller formally launched the council with a grant of $100,000 and served as the first president, the next two council presidents were Frederick Osborne and Frank Notstein, both members of the American Eugenics Society. The NIH and USAID were among the startup funders, and U.S. and foreign governments soon became the council's largest financial backers. The council does research promoting the use of artificial birth control and abortion and biomedical research to discover and develop new contraceptive drugs and technologies. It collaborated with the Ford Foundation and International Planned Parenthood Foundation to develop large-scale IUD programs abroad, despite its own research doctors warning about acute adverse side effects. Later, the council played a key role in developing the extremely dangerous hormonal contraceptive implant, Norplant. Historian Donald T. Critchlow wrote that the Population Council cultivated elite connections and avoided public controversy by identifying itself as a neutral scientific organization. The U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, conducted a decades-long partnership with the Population Council and cultivated long-term alliances with the Rockefeller Foundation and the WHO, researching the use of fertility controls to reduce world population, especially in sub-Saharan Africa. By 2014, Gates and Elias had a reliable collaborator at the federal program, USAID Director Rajiv Shah, who had, prior to winning that appointment, worked a decade for the Gates Foundation, running Gavi's immunization program for African children. Dr. Shah joined the Gates Foundation in 2001 and oversaw its alliance with the Rockefeller Foundation in launching the Alliance for a Green Revolution in Africa. He directed the International Finance Facility for Immunization. The IFFI is a shady agency that finances Bill Gates's global vaccine enterprises in developing nations through a diabolically innovative bond issuance scheme that runs up huge debts in poor countries to finance Gates's self-serving vaccines. Using sleight of hand, IFFI enriches Gates's pharma partners with Western financial bonds by passing the costs to future generations in poor countries. Shah raised $5 billion through this swindle for Gavi. At USAID, his primary responsibility was reorganizing the agency to reflect its new biosecurity direction under Obama's 2009 executive order. Shah left USAID to become president of the Rockefeller Foundation in 2017. Shah has deep links to the intelligence agencies and the oil and chemical cartels. Shah serves on both the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations, two globalist organizations that the Rockefeller-Kissinger alliance largely defined. Shah is a board member of the International Rescue Committee, a nonprofit with long-standing CIA ties, in his 1991 book, Covert Network, Progressives, the International Rescue Committee, and the CIA, University of Massachusetts economics professor Eric Thomas Chester exposes IRC as a CIA front. Bill Casey, a lifelong spy, who as Ronald Reagan's CIA director helped manage the Iran-Contra affair in the 1980s, chaired IRC from 1970 to 1971. IRC operates in 40 countries doing humanitarian aid. According to its current CEO, David Miliband, the former UK Foreign Secretary, Shah's role on the high-level council is to monitor political and non-health issues related to prevention and preparedness imperatives